Joined now by Max Orr of Carolina Public Humanities for another round. Max, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. This is a delight to be away from grading papers for a little bit.
I got a stack of papers in my car right now.
We can trade maybe and see if our topics
are more interesting. I only have the one class with 25 students. I don't know how many you have.
Yeah, well, you don't want to make you out. The papers have been satisfactory. So.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Well, you know, Aaron, I always bring a gift for you, and I only bring one. Sometimes I bring two gifts, two things that have happened on this day, but I bring one because it's a very special one. On this day in 1789, UNC General Assembly voted the charter for the University of North Carolina.
You know, I know that because I was tooling around on the internet earlier today, and that little factoid is on Wikipedia's homepage today.
UNC got
its charter from the General Assembly.
I won't give away my secrets about where I pick up these dates, but so I thought that was an interesting transition. As you know, I use these dates to kind of talk about our guest and what we're going to be discussing this week, and we are with one of our Adams Fellows for the Public Humanities, Sama Chaudhary. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And Sama is a scholar of religious studies. She's a graduate student in the Religious Studies Department who studies American Muslim experience and trying to get a better sense of the experience of minority cultures and minority religions. Mm-hmm. And of course, obviously, this is a very hot issue or topic that needs to be discussed and of great importance. And in particular, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago about how we discussed Thanksgiving, and we talked about First Nations peoples and Thanksgiving. And so I wanted to, first of all, talk a little bit about the public humanities with our guest, but also ask her a little bit about the experience of American Muslims in the holiday season, in the season of the war against Christmas, et cetera. Where do American Muslims see themselves in this in a season in a minority as a minority culture and minority religion? But first, I guess we just want to talk about public humanities and your interest in it.
Yeah, thank you. So my interest in the public humanities, this is something we've discussed before, comes from the fact that you can't really be studying Islam, especially in the United States, without engaging with the public humanities in some capacity. Mm-hmm. An unfortunate example is what happened this morning in Manhattan. Mm. So Islamic studies scholars often have to be, you know, doing this double duty kind of work where they're working on their scholarship, whatever that may be, in addition to the fact that there are real questions that the American audience has about Islam that we think we've talked about through our scholarship, but clearly there's a gap between how accessible that scholarship is. Mm-hmm. And so my interest is to kind of, you know, lessen that gap.
So what has your research been on?
Right now I'm interested in American Muslim cultural production. So when I say cultural production, I'm referring to things like art, music, film, theater. In particular, there's been a sudden advent of South Asian men who've kind of broken out to a level of prominence that a lot of American Muslims haven't been able to reach. I'm talking about people like Aziz Ansari, whom you may have heard of. Hasan Minhaj has a really popular Netflix special. Kumail Nanjiani kind of had the sleeper hit movie of the summer called
The
Big Sick.
Although it just got snubbed by the Golden Globes,
right?
But other than that, yeah.
So thinking about these guys in particular, I think it's a really interesting entry into this conversation on race and religion, and so I'm hoping to take it from there.
That is really fascinating because, I mean, you mentioned South Asian. It really is the Indian subcontinent that's really emerged. Is there a particular reason for that, or is it as opposed to like a different region of Asia?
There are a lot of Muslims in South Asia, certainly. I think there's also something about the fact that these men can be visibly read as being different. A lot of other Muslims perhaps might be white passing, but there is this racialization that's happening with a lot of Muslims in the United States, and that's particularly present with these folks. And so I think that might be a reason that we're seeing them kind of rise to the fore, unlike others.
Have you seen the field of Muslim studies? How much has it changed in the last, 2 years, I guess? Has it Has it changed as much as just a layperson would think it would have? I know when I teach American government, and people say, oh, 2017, you've got to throw everything out and start all over again. And I say, well, hang on to that, because institutions are stable enough that we can still use the same textbook that we can a year ago. But is that the case, or has the field of Muslim studies really transformed in the last 2 years?
I mean, you know, the field is so wide and diverse. People study, you know, scholars from the medieval era and these old texts all the way to people who are doing the types of things that I'm doing. In terms of it changing radically in the last 2 years, I would say that the experiences that Muslims have been having since perhaps 2016 are echoes of things that have been happening to Muslims and other minority communities throughout the last century. So in a lot of ways, there's a sad recognition to what's happening.
You said 2016 there, and you said 2000, and I didn't know what the last number was going to be, because there are so many possibilities.
Yeah,
2001, 2009, 2000, and it really, like, there is that continuity, right?
Yeah.
I'd say if there's any silver lining, I see a real interest among students to learn more, which is an encouraging sign. I have students always are signing up for my France and Algeria course, which I'm teaching right now, and certainly just from, you know, having my own daughter is learning Arabic right now, so it's a real upsurge in interest, which is good. But it, of course, puts the burden of good scholarship, right? Upsurge of interest without good scholarship and without good dialogue on this, I think, could lead people thinking, well, I figured it all out and I've got it. But it really takes, you know, just what the humanities are all about, reflection and dialogue and thinking deeply about it. So I want to know, and this was my gambit only because we are in this holiday season, I want to know a little bit about your feelings about why I invited you on here and what you think about this notion of minority cultures and minority religions in the midst of what is a war on Christmas, or you're supposed to say happy holidays and make sure you include, you know, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatnot. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. For Muslims, Jesus is a revered figure. The 19th chapter of the Quran is actually titled after Mary, and it relates the story of Jesus's birth. So there's certainly no antagonism towards the religious origins of this holiday. If anything, you know, I think the fact that this holiday has become so hegemonic in some ways, where it's in every single, you know, facet of our lives, makes it so that we kind of are always aware that this is something that's not really inclusive of us. I remember, gosh, was it a few years ago? Do you remember when this happened? I think Best Buy put out an ad that said Happy Eid al-Adha at a time when it was coinciding with the holiday season, and people lost it.
Yeah.
They were really upset.
Wow.
So, you know, moments like that are just a reminder that we're kind of on the peripheries here. But that being said, Muslims in America partake in, you know, the trappings of Christmas. I have friends who have Christmas trees and, you know, go to ugly sweater parties, things like that. Secret Santa is a big thing in workplaces, right? So unless you want to be perceived as a jerk, you kind of have to take part, right? but these things are everywhere. One thing that's really interesting, I was thinking about this before I came in here, is that given how rampant the capitalism of this season has become, another way that, you know, Muslims end up spending this holiday season is working. So a lot of doctors cover shifts for their colleagues who, you know, want to take the day or a few days to spend with their families. You also see it in retail work, where these stores are staying open 24/7 now and have sales on Christmas Eve, and the people who are picking up that slack are often Muslim. My brother works at a grocery store in Michigan, hauling carts, which you can imagine in the dead of winter is really tough, but he never gets time off during this time. But he's happy to do it because, you know, he gets to see his friends.
I hope he gets time
enjoy
and a
that
half.
Time.
Right. At least, right? I mean, you mentioned a few sort of components of just the Christmas season, not even necessarily Christmas, the ugly sweater parties, the capitalization of it, and just the gift buying, secret Santas, and things like that. And so much of that is secular, right? Mm-hmm. So much of that is removed or separated from the religious aspect of it. At the same time, it is a religious holiday. So every single facet of Christmas, whether it's secular or not, is in some way linked to the religious tradition. And that's something that there is that subset of people in the U.S. that are really making an effort to push that side of it. So I have conflicting thoughts about all of that. I was wondering what your take on all of this was. Just the secularization and simultaneous not secularness of Christmas is.
Yeah, I think, well, I agree with you that you can't really separate it mm-hmm. from these religious origins, right? Just think about going back to the fact that we follow this calendar that gives people this time off at the very end of December, where, you know, we call it a holiday break mm-hmm. or, you know, the holiday season. But that's a Gregorian calendar,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's something that isn't just present here, you know. So my parents immigrated to the United States from Bangladesh, and the global economy follows this calendar. So something that, you know, has always been a part of December for me is when I go back to Bangladesh to visit my extended family, that's always known as wedding season. Because everyone, you know, a lot of Bengalis now live in diaspora, but everyone always comes back in December to Bangladesh, and it's the perfect time. You know, your family's all here.
Oh,
the
wow.
weather is a little bit nicer. So people get married in December.
So it's a time of celebration.
Yeah.
You guys are good.
For a completely
yeah.
different reason.
You know, it's interesting
That's
about this secularization of Christmas. I think you'll find that people who are very religious of any denomination, even, you know, very devout Christians, are somewhat uncomfortable with the capitalization and secularization of Christmas. So I imagine that the level of belief that you have, or the level of personal, whether to call it orthodoxy, or the way that you practice your religion, will affect the way that you respond to all of these cultural, you know, clues and whatnot. So I guess the point I'm just trying to say is that no one group is monolithic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be a variety of responses within religions as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking with Max Orr and Sama Chaudhary, how close was I to getting that right?
Close. Sama Chaudhary.
Okay. Sama Chaudhary.
Yeah.
Sorry. Again, humanities.unc.edu is the website for Carolina Public Humanities, so go there and get more. But we've got to wrap up in a second, but before we let you go, generic question for you, Sama, but based on your research and your work and your experience, what is something about the American Muslim experience, as diverse as that is, what is something that people don't know but ought to?
You know, I'll come back to that point I made before.
Okay.
that Muslims,
I'm glad you have
don't...
something, because that is the most generic question
no, that's
in the world.
Fine.
But yeah.
But I think it's important to note that, you know, there isn't a real inherent antagonism to Christianity by any means. Like I said, there is an entire chapter of the Quran that is dedicated to Mary. But one thing that I think is really important, another thing that Muslims are going to be feeling certainly during this holiday season, is an element of fear. And that's something that hasn't dissipated since the rise of this, you know, ultra-nationalist and very vocal bloc that has no problem very, you know, vociferously telling us that we have no place in this country. I think it was only 2 weeks ago, right, that the president retweeted those Islamophobic videos.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then that foiled attack from this morning. These kinds of things always end up having a backlash, and that backlash always affects the most vulnerable members of a community. So that's something that's going to be present for us, at least, over the next few weeks, unfortunately.
Humanities.unc.edu for more information on Carolina Public Humanities. Max, or anything coming up that people ought to know about?
Well, the holiday season is coming up.
Yes.
And we have, as you know, our season has ended in terms of all of our public programming, but we do have a great roster, and I can't wait to come and talk to you about it in the new year. So keep that close to the vest for now.
Sounds good. Max Orr, Sama Chaudhary, thank you so much.
Thank you.